Episode 133 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded May 16th, 2017. Randy and the Magical Asshole Tour, 1987. So the title of the show is Master of None. Are we to take from that Aziz Ansari's dev character in this Netflix show is a jack of all trades?
Yes, he's a jack of all trades because he's a pasta maker. Mm-hmm. He's a cupcake host.
Okay.
Lover extraordinaire.
Yeah.
He is
hopeless romantic.
Hopeless romantic.
I just don't get the sense that he seems like a jack of all trades, I suppose.
No, but the show is a jack of all trades because it's so varied in what it covers. Whether, you know, there's an episode where he's not even in it, really. Hmm. And then there's a show that's about a series of Thanksgivings. The show itself is a jack of all trades where it jumps between different stories.
I like that.
Just came up with that. Pulled that out of my ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do that sometimes.
I do.
It's gross.
Yeah.
It's very primitive.
Yeah.
But sometimes You're like a jack of all trades of explaining TVs.
Of pulling things out of my ass. And a master of none.
Hey, keep practicing. You keep pulling stuff out of that ass, you might be a master someday.
That's what the fortune teller told me. I thought it was weird at the time, but now it all makes sense.
It's all coming together. Hey, folks. So we are talking about Master of None, which just dropped its second season, all 10 episodes, which we binged for this episode and over on Netflix. And then we're also going to talk about, once again, Leftovers and Better Call Saul. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
I'm Ashley.
And we're the TV Dudes. And before we get into all of that, we got some house cleaning to do.
Yay.
First up, if you guys want to help us out, you guys can go over to the iTunes store, give us a 5-star rating, write a review. We will read that here on the show. It's a great way to give us visibility. You can also give us that written review anywhere on the internet. Just email us at admin@thetvdudes.com or post something on Facebook or message me on Facebook or on Twitter, whatever. Get a hold of me, point me to it, and we'll gladly read your reviews of what random product could they review?
The newest book by Ivanka Trump.
There you go.
You can go and write a review and express your views about the TV Dudes. And if you want to throw in a few things about how her book is terrible and she's terrible, you can do that.
A great place to do it. Another way you guys can help us out is over at patreon.com/TV Dudes. There you can make a per episode pledge. Give us $1 an episode, and in exchange you get bonus exclusive content. There we will discuss things that don't really fall under the umbrella of television, but we'll do little 30-minute discussions of the Fast and the Furious movies, or you guys last week talked about Guardians of the Galaxy.
We did.
Sometimes we talk about weird unicorn drinks that Starbucks makes, or whatever kind of is in the current cultural zeitgeist. But go over to patreon.com/TV Dudes, and that's where you guys can help us out. And we have a couple people we want to thank this week. First up, we want to thank Erin Essex for upping her pledge. Erin is one of those great people I met at South By, and she's really awesome. She's got a vlog. Go check it out, too.
Nice.
And she upped her pledge. Pretty badass.
By the way, speaking of vlogs,
mm-hmm.
Our buddy Kyle has a vlog.
Mm-hmm.
He's about to be in like London and South Africa. I'm sure that's going to get pretty interesting.
Yeah.
He did a vlog of our time at Moon Tower.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, I do not care for the way in which I look on camera. I do not care for it.
Oh, I thought you were cute.
You look great.
I don't like it. I look like a hideous bald troll man. I don't like it.
Well, it didn't help when you started asking people's your riddles 3.
You know what?
It was weird.
You don't get out from under the bridge unless you work.
Well, if you guys want to see hideous troll man Randy, he's going to be on Kyle's vlog, which you can check out. I think it's either Kyle Scott or Kyle Scott Creative or Kyle Scott Vlog. I don't know. Just look for Kyle Scott on YouTube. You'll probably
just
pull
type
it up.
Kyle Scott into Google and you'll find something.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a portfolio and some other stuff too. Yeah. Maggie Kitterman also made a pledge on Patreon. Thank you so much, Maggie. That's awesome. And we're glad to have you. I hope you enjoy our silliness over on our extra episodes.
Yes. We super appreciate all our Patreon listeners and all listeners, But we especially love the people who are patrons and help us do cool things like go to the TV festivals.
We like money.
Yeah, well, and it helped us get a you know, some shared accounts so that everybody can watch Hulu and Stars. It helps us keep up with TV and provide a better show.
We might have some other pretty cool stuff coming down the pipeline because of your support, by the way.
Yeah.
But we'll just leave that as a little teaser, so stay tuned. And that's it. Those are the only two ways.
I think you're forgetting a third way
in
which people can promote the show.
What is it, Randy?
Just one word. Plastics.
Oh, okay. Well, there you guys go.
What, you want me to do all the work for you? No, figure it out.
is that all you're going to leave
that's
it as?
That's all I got.
Wow. Plastics, folks. If you guys really want to help us out, you just put one and plastics together and figure it out.
They'll get it. Yeah. Our listeners are smart.
This month, we are also promoting FemTV. This is part of our podcast network, Permanent Record.
Permanent Record.
That was your little cue.
Sorry, I missed it. I missed the cue.
FemTV over at FemTV Podcast is a podcast that our buddy Melissa is doing, where she's interviewing different women inside the TV workforce. And her latest episode, which just dropped on the 11th, is her interviewing Allison Friedman, director of development at Color Force. And she's been working on some projects like American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Hey, that's a little show I liked.
Yeah, pretty awesome. So go check that out. Show some love. Check out the show. Give a little review and all that. 5 stars. Thank you, and we appreciate it.
I hope Melissa's coming for ATX Fest this year.
I think she is. Yeah.
That was great.
We're going to see her. We're going to do another little TV podcasters meetup. So.
Yeah, I'm going to eat me some fancy sausages, possibly some French fries.
Oh, and by the way, yes, definitely. But another podcast that just got released by Mike Moody, TV on the Pod.
Yeah.
He's interviewing you and me for Beach Cop Detectives.
It's really hard to get me to talk about terriers, so...
Yeah, he had to really cajole that out. Yeah. Yeah. He's a master, though.
Yep.
Master of none.
Oh, master of all.
Master of all.
He's a jack of one trade?
One trade, you can only, master of all.
You can be a jack of one trade and a master of all. You cannot be a jack of all trades and a master of all.
It doesn't make sense.
That's too much power. No one man should be a jack of all trades and a master of all trades.
It'd be like Sauron or something.
Yeah, right? That's what happens.
Okay. Let's move on to some listener questions. So if you guys like us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, we will put up a little question post once a week, and you guys can ask us whatever you want. We got a couple questions this week. First up comes from... Our man Nick Thighs is back with some more Nick Thighs. Nick Thighs, whatever. Check him out over at the UGO podcast. But Nick has been giving us a crazy extended, like 2.5 month running Game of Thrones revenge saga. And last week he wrote an open letter, I believe, to was it Paul Ryan?
It was Paul Ryan from the bastard.
The bastard. That's right.
I'm blanking on his name. The torturer guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
The bastard of torturing.
Yes, the bastard of torturing.
From Game of Thrones. You guys know. Anyway.
Ramsay.
Thank you. Someone save me.
Yeah.
He says, okay, one more political letter and that's it. I promise.
I don't believe you.
Dear Senator Mitch McConnell, this is Hannibal Lecter from the NBC series Hannibal. It may surprise you that, despite being a fictional character, I am one of your constituents. I would like to let you know that I personally find you repugnant and quite unpleasant company. And I eat people. Whoa, that's quite a confession right
there.
You
know, strange coincidence, that's how I sign all my letters, too.
So, speaking of which, as you are writing your new healthcare bill, I would like to remind you that nothing spoils meat faster than sickness. I need those livers healthy, or they just don't pair well with my favorite Chianti. If you need Marco Rubio is already a, if you need further convincing, I would love to invite you over for dinner. Senator Marco Rubio is already attending.
That's not true. Senator Marco Rubio is way too much of a coward to ever go to a cannibal's house.
He was very easy to prepare since he arrived with his spine long since absent.
Oh, nicely done.
There you go.
Burn!
If you are worried about becoming an entree yourself, don't be overly concerned. I currently only have wines that pair with humans, not half turtle, genetically modified monster creatures.
I like that he kind of left it implied by saying I only eat humans. And then he came in at the end there.
A lot of people don't know this, but you know that movie Gamera?
That was his first action
Mitch McConnell, like the whole reason he's rich and got into the Senate is because Gamera was his uncle. A lot of people don't know that.
Interesting.
Nepotism, man.
Yeah.
I'm also glad somebody's finally taking Marco Rubio down a notch.
Yeah.
He's been riding way too high on that political crest of his.
Yeah, what do you think, winner? You think Marco Rubio?
It is, it is. It's like, yeah. I could take a couple pop shots at that guy. He's had enough. Enough of the good times.
Your favorite Cannibal constituent, Hannibal Lecter. Question for the TV dudes. What TV character do you think Hannibal would like / not like to eat? Also, any suggestions for further letters is welcome.
So I'm going to go first right to Ron Swanson, because just the notion of having a Swanson dinner appeals to the TV dinner fan in me.
Oh, man. And plus, that guy is just full of steak and eggs.
He's got to be, and he's got to be all smoky. Mm. Like, Ron Swanson's probably, you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to eat Ron Swanson.
Marinated with whiskey all the time in his body.
I'm going to eat Ron Swanson later.
Wow.
I want to cuddle with it first, though, like I do all my favorite sandwiches.
I feel like Hannibal likes sort of the classy people. I mean, I guess
Jonah would not be a tasty meal for Veep.
He would not eat Jonah. No. He would not eat Jonah.
Fuck Jonah.
You know who was probably surprisingly delicious, though? Tony Hale's character. On Veep.
Gary?
I bet Gary is surprisingly delicious.
I'm questioning it, but you can tell me.
It's surprisingly is the thing. I think like Gary's probably a guy who takes care of himself because he's got to be there for Selena.
Okay.
I feel like he's probably tender and juicy.
Bobby Axelrod from Billions.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah. Although he might be a little stringy because he's all muscly and stuff.
It's a chewier meat, but I think it's fine.
That's true. That's a good point.
He knows cooking techniques for that type.
Ashley, who would Hannibal eat?
I think he would tell himself he's going to eat Frasier because it seems like the right thing to say.
Oh, man.
But what he's actually going to do is get Martin from The Simpsons and put on some reruns of Murder, She Wrote and eat the shit out of that fatty. But he's going to tell his friends he ate Frasier.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because it's one thing to be a cannibal. It's another to be a cannibal who eats fatty foods.
It's true. It's true.
That's so intellectually dishonest of him.
Yeah.
Paul Mampilli asks, since Master of None is back and Tim is always a man-child, who's your favorite man or woman-child on TV?
Man-child on TV? Oh, man. I feel like is Archer an answer?
Because
I do like Archer.
Archer's a pretty great one. Man, once again say Jonah, Ryan.
Yeah, Jonah's a great man-child. You got to go back to Parks and Recreation and Andy. Andy was a great man-child.
He was lovable.
He was a lovable man-child.
He wasn't one that you're like, I hate you, and I just want to keep watching what you do.
Well, at first he was.
Yeah.
And then they sort of turned that corner and figured out how to make it work.
Well, if you spend some time in a pit, you do soul searching.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you come out. You come out a different man.
Man, child.
Yeah, you come out Star-Lord. That's a fact.
April Gay was a good woman child on the opposite side of the spectrum because she was just terrible.
Yeah,
yeah, lovably terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, last question, and then we will jump to our news. Kyle Volte says, hey, TV dudes, since the season of cancellations has passed, what shows are you happy have survived, and which are you gutted have been canceled? And how strange is it that Timeless could answer both of those questions? Should we jump to our list right now?
Yeah, let's jump to the list.
Because I compiled a rundown of interesting ones that are renewed as well as ones that are canceled this year.
And Timeless is like it's like the Schrodinger's cancellation.
Yeah.
It was both canceled and not canceled.
Fans quickly saved it by bitching enough on Twitter, apparently.
That was crazy. So we had a big discussion about this on my Facebook page about Timeless because, as you guys may know, Les Wyler, a fellow TV dude, is something of a fan of time travel.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way I'm something of a fan of terriers.
That's true.
And
yours isn't a style so much as just one specific show.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So he and I and a bunch of other people were discussing Timeless. And I think the general consensus we had was, it's not that Timeless was a great show. It's that it was a good show that was getting better, and every indication was that it was going to get one of those shows that like took an uptick and became the show we wanted it to be in season two. Mm. And so we weren't lamenting the loss of Timeless so much as we were lamenting the potential Timeless season two. And now we don't, and now they have to follow up and deliver on that season two that we all expect them to deliver.
You think they can?
I think they can. I mean, Eric Kripke has done this.
Apparently Supernatural eventually got good.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
It did. I always liked Supernatural.
First season, blah.
I liked the first season.
Okay,
but it's they go in a more arc direction, and they definitely, I think they feel like they are telling a bigger story. So I'm hopeful that Timeless Season 2 will be what we want it to be. If not, I'm going to stop watching it. I'll cancel it myself.
Okay, well, let's do a rundown here of the shows that got picked back up for another season and went down the drain. Yep. First up, we'll talk about NBC. So the new Celebrity Apprentice, apparently it might be renewed, but Schwarzenegger, I guess he doesn't want to be back for another season.
That's weird. Did he get some kind of weird like fan mail, or maybe he's busy, didn't want to do the, or it could be that the president of the United States took time out of his day to tweet at him that he was doing a terrible job. What the fuck?
Yeah, that could be part of it. Or that's mainly it. Yes. All of the Chicago shows, Chicago Fire, Med, and PD were renewed, except Chicago Justice. We don't know. It's on the sidelines. Maybe it'll get picked up. Who gives a shit?
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Actually, Greg probably cares. He's probably watching all of them.
It's probably Greg. He's the one person keeping it alive.
So I want to know, Chicago Fire, Med, PD, we need Justice with the lawyers. We need to find some other things in Chicago. Like Chicago Nanny should be the next one in the franchise.
Nannies would be like when you're ranking all the like important.
Yeah, Chicago Nannies.
Careers.
Chicago Baristas.
Chicago Dogs.
Chicago Dogs. Oh, I'd watch that show.
Yeah, me too. It sounds delicious.
That show, they should do that.
Chicago Deep Dish. No, yeah, definitely.
Would Chicago Dogs, would they, you're saying hot dogs, or would they be dogs? And if they were dogs, would they be talking?
Yeah, I was thinking more food. It'd be a spinoff.
Okay. Yeah.
They'd be primarily terriers.
Oh, Chicago Terriers. I'm in. Yeah. See, I was thinking you meant the dogs of Chicago, and it was going to be like cute dogs and clothes, too. Right? Like,
maybe we could switch off. It's an anthology show. One season's food, the next season's dogs.
But it'd have to be like sexy dogs that are like have a troubled past, and they like are going and rescuing people sometimes.
Oh, like Shih Tzus.
Are they the sexy?
Have you ever seen a Shih Tzu? That is a troubled past dog. Those dogs are weird.
They're damaged.
They're damaged dogs.
Timeless was once again one of the shows we were just mentioning. Yeah, it got picked up. Some shows that got canceled. Grimm is on its final season, so kind of canceled, I guess.
Five seasons, that's a respectable run for Grimm.
Yeah. Powerless, gone. Emerald City, gone. Yep. Taken is for some reason renewed.
Yeah, and getting a new showrunner.
The Good Place is back. That's awesome.
Yep.
Trial and Error and Great News is renewed, but Trial and Error is still kind of on the fence. We don't know.
I'd really like another season, but if they don't do another season, it was a good one season show. Great News. Have you guys watched any of this? I think the answer is probably no.
You gave us a mixed review.
Yeah,
on it.
I watched a couple episodes. I'm not loving it, but I've had friends who've called it like 30 Rock Part 2, which I think is crazy, but I'm going to watch some more. I'm curious.
That's a pretty big sell, because 30 Rock Part 2 is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, that's true.
Over on Fox, The Simpsons is renewed for at least two more seasons. It's already on season 28.
Jesus.
That's just bonkers. Bones is getting canceled finally after its 12th season, so it's his final season.
Yep.
X-Files is renewed. Bob's Burgers is going to be back.
Yep.
New Girl is getting its 7th and final season, which is, that's a lot. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is going to be back. And then Lucifer is getting another season. What?
I thought Lucifer was already on. Oh, it is. It's third season.
Yeah. That's weird. Yep. Sleepy Hollow finally getting canceled.
That's not a cancel. That's a mercy killing.
Yeah. Rosewood, gone. Pitch, gone. Son of Zorn, gone. Making History, which is a little bit of a bummer, gone. Because I was kind of enjoying that one.
I was enjoying it, but I didn't really need it.
APB, gone.
Yeah.
The Exorcist, I guess, got picked up.
It did. And I never watched that, but I heard it was really good.
Yeah. The Mick, Lethal Weapon, those are all getting renewed. And 24 Legacy, we don't know. We don't know, guys.
I'm sad to see Pitch go, although I'm not so sad because there's plenty of other stuff to watch.
Yeah. Over on ABC, Modern Family got picked up for two more seasons. It's on its 8th season right now, so it's going to be going into 10 seasons.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If there were a gladiatorial death match,
mm-hmm.
and you had the cast of everyone who's been on Modern Family, all those characters, versus all the characters in The Simpsons, who would win?
The Simpsons. There's a bajillion of them.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. There's a lot of Modern Family. There's 10 seasons built up.
30 seasons versus 10?
I know, but they stopped building new characters at some point, right? They're just like doing more of the other ones?
Yeah, but they have like aliens and shit.
That's true. That's a good point.
They have like actual Satan as a character.
So is there any cast on TV that could beat The Simpsons in a gladiatorial death match?
Potentially Futurama.
Interesting. Yes. Well, they've got
robots,
and they've got future technology. Yeah, that's true. And the scheming brain of Tricky Dick Nixon.
Well, who doesn't have one of those?
Right.
I brought mine in my purse.
American gods, maybe, because they're gods.
They're gods, but I don't know.
Is that weird?
I don't know. Their powers are limited.
That's true.
Limited powers on those.
That's true.
They need to get more people believing in them. Is it like a Peter Pan thing?
That's just how it is. Make sure and tell that to your gods, your friends who are godly. They love to be love when you compare gods to Peter Pan.
They got a bunch of creepy kids that wear creepy clothes, hanging out with them. They jump out of windows. It checks out.
Some shows that got canceled. Last Man Standing is gone. American Crime, Secrets and Lies, Dr. Ken, The Real O'Neills, Speechless. Oh, wait, nope. Speechless is still here. But Conviction, Time After Time, and Imagination Mary, or Imaginary Mary.
Yeah. Here's the really good news.
Yeah.
Conviction frees up Agent Carter.
Yeah.
To go do a better show. So
cool,
good for her. So
she's also going to be losing out on all those big bucks. But
Dr. Ken frees up Ken Jeong to do a better show.
Yes,
this is only good.
He might not have it in him. I don't know. It's got to be the writing.
Last Man Standing frees up Tim the Tool Man Taylor
to go fuck himself.
To go fuck himself. Yes, exactly where I was going.
I do think though that ABC is really kind of like making a mark for themselves as far as their comedy, because they have The Goldbergs, Blackish, Fresh Off the Boat, and Speechless,
which, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Don't forget Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That show's hilarious.
But all of those like seem to like fit in a family. I get that they're part of the ABC kind of mantra, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're all renewed, yeah. Over on CBS, The Big Bang Theory is renewed for two more seasons, Randy.
Oh, thank God. I was afraid that there wouldn't be any people making fun of geeks on TV.
But I do have good news for you. Yes. And like at least four or five of our listeners also had this exact same good news for you. Two Broke Girls is canceled after six seasons.
Freeing Kat Dennings to go do something else. Anything else, really.
Elementary, which I guess had pretty low ratings, got renewed. So that was a big surprise for a lot of people.
It was not Elementary.
No, but it's going to be back for another season. Maybe they just really like the dynamic of those actors. So
yeah, maybe so.
American Gothic got canceled. Brain Dead, Doubt. A lot of these I haven't even heard of. The Great Indoors was canceled.
Brain Dead was supposed to be a really funny show. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who's now in Fargo, was the lead. And it was about like zombies it was like political drama about alien brain-eating zombies.
Oh.
I never got to watch it. It's on Amazon Prime. One of these days when I have, you know, not 100 shows to watch, I will try and catch it.
I also found out that The Odd Couple is in limbo, but I didn't know that was... I thought that was canceled the first season.
I didn't know that was still going either.
Jeez. Yeah. So, and MacGyver got renewed somehow, even though that was the worst pilot, I think we agreed last season.
It was the worst.
CW, pretty much everything stayed, is getting renewed. There's a couple seasons that are ending. Vampire Diaries and Rain are finally coming to a conclusion. And No Tomorrow and Frequency were canceled.
Huh. So. You know, I never watched either one of those, but I heard generally good things.
Yeah. Oh, well. Over on cable, we have a few other ones of note. FX is renewing pretty much everything. Americans, You're the Worst. Fargo, I'm sure it'll be back.
Yeah.
Atlanta's renewed. Feud is renewed. Louis, that guy will do whatever he wants. He's like the new Larry David, I guess. If he wants to do another season, he will. Over on Showtime, we have the renewals of like Homeland and Billions. Yep. HBO, of course, is doing Game of Thrones and Westworld, Insecure. There's unknown status for Silicon Valley and Veep, but give me a break.
Yeah,
those are back. Big Little Lies did so well. I'm sure there's going to be a second season.
But there may not be. The story may be done from what I hear.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe it'll be an anthology kind of series.
Yeah, the new season will be called Small Big Lies. Small Larger Lies. Minuscule Gigantic Lies.
Oxymoronic Lies.
Enormous Tiny Truths.
I like it. Enormous tiny truths.
That's
trips,
what we're going for.
And sadly, Leftovers is going to be coming to a conclusion. I'm not ready to let go. Over on Hulu, Mindy Project, Handmaid's Tale renewed, Casual renewed. Netflix is renewing all of their stuff. BoJack Horseman, Stranger Things, 13 Reasons Why, Crown, Orange is the New Black, Master of None, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Everything is great over there. Netflix is doing a great job with a lot of their shows. And Amazon... is renewing pretty much everything except for this one show, Good Girls Revolt, which I guess did not do well.
Yeah.
But A ton of great shows are being renewed. I'm pretty happy about all of that. There's a bunch of stuff on the networks I don't really care as
you
much
know what's
about.
Crazy is it's been a while since a show's been canceled that I really cared about. I think you might have to go back to like Almost Human, where I was like bummed the show got canceled and hoping for a show. Like we're not in a place anymore where I'm like, I don't want that show to go away because there's so much to watch.
Yeah, you're kind of like, you're like Pitch, and you were like trying to muster up the energy to give a shit.
I'm sad. It was solid, but I got plenty to watch. I don't need it to come back.
Are you bummed about anything, Ashley?
No, I mean, I'm looking at this. All my big ones are back, so
yep. You got your Bob's Burgers?
I got my Bob's Burgers. I'm excited about The Crown coming back, too.
Really?
Fuck yeah, dude.
I like that show.
It's really good. I should finish watching The Crown.
Yeah, it's real good.
It's like Downton Abbey, but less boring.
Yeah.
But like really pretty.
And I actually really like Insecure.
Oh, I loved Insecure.
Yeah, so I'm glad that's coming back, too. Yep.
And you know what? That actually covers pretty much anything we were going to cover in the news segment. So we're going to skip that, and we're going to come back after a break and just dive right into the shows we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Of None back for the second season.
Yes.
And I mean, I remember like when it ended last season, I was like, oh, that was so good, I need more. But then it was just like other TV shows kept coming in and I didn't get a break, and so kind of like I forgot about how much I loved Dev and the other characters, and then finally they're back and I love it again.
I did not forget how much I loved it. I was super looking forward to this coming back. And I still was kind of blown away. Like, this season two took a jump, I think.
I mean, it felt like they covered some really heavy, like, powerful, mature stuff in the first season. But
they did. But I think this one felt very assured. Like, they knew what they were doing. They were just going out and doing whatever they wanted. They did an episode where Dev's barely in it.
Yeah.
Like, it was actually one of my favorite episodes. And I say one of my favorite episodes, and I realized that basically there's not an episode that isn't one of my favorite episodes. Like, every one of these episodes, if someone said, oh, that was the best, I could be like, yeah, you're right, that was the best. Like, I don't think there was one where I was like, oh, that wasn't as good. They were all good, and they all had different things to recommend, I think. I thought this was a fantastic season of TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I was so stoked for it to be coming back. It was one of my favorite shows when it came out, for sure. And at first, like, so with the first episode being so different from season one, I thought that maybe we were going in like an entirely different direction, right, like altogether.
Like, and the whole thing was going to be in Italy?
Yeah, like it was going to be like an homage thing or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the way by the end it kind of ties it all up into a neat little package was really great.
I have to admit, this whole season, I was expecting Rachel to like pop up in the second half and like just make a big return as the romantic lead, because I thought she was like a serious character of the show.
Oh yeah, right? I loved her. Yeah,
and all the kind of hints at it, the texting in the first few episodes, I'm like, okay, that's where it's building up to.
Yep.
And I didn't expect that it was going to be him and Francesca,
and instead, when she does show up, it took me a second to realize who she was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that was a big deal, but it didn't occur to me because he was in such a different headspace, which is exactly where Dev is.
Uh-huh.
So he managed to get the viewer into the same place.
Yeah.
Where what should have been like a big moment was like it's just somebody I ran into the street. It's not the girl who broke my heart last year. I thought that was really cool. The Francesca story, I sort of wondered if it was going, because he and the actress who played Francesca, I don't know what her name is.
Alessandra Mastro Nardi.
Good. Bene.
Yeah, thanks.
I think. I don't know. I'm not Italian.
I don't think it was very good. I think it was terrible.
Allora. It just means well. But the two of them had amazing chemistry.
Yes.
And even though she was clearly like in a relationship, I was like, well, maybe it's a one-off. And then when she came to New York, I started thinking, okay, they're gonna have to at least explore this, because the chemistry there is so real that one of them has to have feelings. It just felt like it was probably going to go in that direction.
Well, I thought the penultimate episode, the Marcy un Po, I'm butchering that probably.
Bella!
I thought that was such a beautiful episode.
We're very cultured here at TV
Very,
Dudes.
Very cultured.
International, even.
Very.
I thought that was a beautiful episode.
Yeah.
But I also sort of felt like they really kept going into the... the note was kind of beaten over the head, I thought, for me. Like,
you think so?
The idea of their romance that can't be. Yeah, I mean, I got the point of it. I just thought the story lingered on it for like 3 or 4 episodes, which was just seemed a lot.
I don't know about that. I actually thought, I mean, they really only did 2 episodes focusing on it.
Well, the last 2, and then it was like whenever she came in, was it like...
The dinner party.
The dinner party, yeah.
But the dinner party was definitely just like the hook. It was the, oh, we're not done with this character yet.
Yeah.
And then we
get a little bit at the tail end of Thanksgiving, right?
And there's a teaser there where her you know, his chef friend, it's not till later when he says, hey, you're gonna get feelings for her.
Yeah, but it was clear with the dinner party.
Yeah, it was. But... I thought they just did the right amount on the 2 of them, because it is a big deal. Like, she's been in this relationship with this guy for a long, long time. It did seem like impossible. It seemed like the kind of thing where it wasn't gonna go well for either of them, and that there was no right choice for her, which I thought was kind of the point of the ending, was that no matter what she chose, she was leaving something behind.
Yeah, I guess the note was just like they say funny stuff to each other. They're having a great time, and then they get lost in these longing looks, right? And then it kind of rinse and repeat. And I just felt like, I get it. Y'all want to get it on, but, you know.
I don't know, Grant. Man, have you never been in that one of those relationships like that? I've had those, and it's brutal. And I think that the repetition of it is what makes it work, because it's like poking at an old wound. It's like you can't stop, and you just keep doing it to yourself.
It's a minor complaint. I love the scene.
No, I'm just saying, for me, it was one of those things that really worked. The Francesca Dev whole thing was something that really got me, because I totally felt like that long scene where he's in the cab after he said goodnight to her, and she's just gotten engaged, and it's this long, unbroken look at him. Like, that's some of the best acting I think Aziz Ansari's ever done, where he's basically not – all he's doing is like thinking and being in the moment as his character, and I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah. I agree. I think like a lot of the shots they do are just beautiful here. Yeah. How they dwell, and they don't say explicitly like, this is how I'm feeling, except for when he's talking to Arnold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is exactly how I'm feeling, Arnold. but I feel like, I don't know. It went a couple times too long. I wish they would have broken it up and had more scenes with, like, maybe his friend Alan or...
That's
or
fair. Alan was not as prominent in the show as I would like.
No, he's more behind the scenes doing writing, I guess, with him, right?
Yeah, I would...
Is that his writing partner? Am Alan I wrong
Yang?
About that?
I'm not sure that's right.
Is that not the same guy?
No, different guy.
Oh, I always figured maybe it was.
I think that if there's a flaw I would point out, I think that they should have developed Pino better. Because Pino... Because it's such a big deal that she's breaking off a relationship with him, I would have liked to have get a sense of him as more than just Dev's obstacle.
Yeah.
And we never do. We see him when he's fighting with her, and we see him in like generic, where he's like being the salesman guy and not being very attentive. We don't ever see the good parts of that relationship.
Which was at his own birthday party, and what an asshole of him to be doing something that he was enjoying, having a conversation.
Yeah, I feel like they could have turned the knife a little harder if they had shown the good parts of the relationship with Pino. But maybe the point was that she was on the downside of this relationship. They'd been together for so long, and it was sort of fading.
Yeah, like for me, it wasn't so much Pino that was keeping her from... It was going back to Italy.
Yeah.
Like, she has the store, she has Mario, she has, I think, her grandmother, the elderly woman. She has the shop.
Yeah.
And so I think if it had just been Pino, maybe. I mean, that's still a big change in someone's life.
Right.
But I think it would have been an easier decision.
That's a good
point. But it's like... getting rid of everything. And I think that she says that in maybe the last or second to last episode, she's like, what was supposed to happen? I was just supposed to like leave my life and move to New York
because
we had a good month together.
And I think it's his buddy who points it out to him like that. Arnold's like, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Which I'm just like, Arnold, were you just like really hyping him up to do this whole thing?
Well, that's because he's being supportive.
Yeah.
I do like that, like, Arnold is basically down for whatever, because he said up front that it was probably a bad idea. But then when Dev is like, yeah, no, we're doing this, he's like, all right, well, we're doing this then.
Yeah.
One thing I really liked about their relationship is that it's so easy to have it seem like the sweet, kind of kind, nerdy, like, pasta-making chef comedian deserves whatever girl he has a crush on.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a trope. Yeah. And it wasn't until I saw, like, say, like, Colossal or something like that, where they were like, actually, that the world doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And I think this show also was kind of the same way, where it was like, well, I mean, I personally would have chosen Dev. However, I have to assume that, like, he just deserves that would have been a mistake, and I don't really feel like they did that,
right.
Although, is what a lot of sitcoms do.
Dev does all right for himself.
He does do all right for himself.
Aziz Ansari is definitely involved.
He's charming as fuck.
Well, he's definitely involved in the casting, because there were some beautiful women in the first date episode.
He is a little cutie. Did you see him on the dates? Those are solid jokes.
Those are genuine laughs. Yeah.
Those are genuine laughs.
Yeah, he's pretty good at not being awkward when there's awkwardness coming from the other direction. And that's a skill.
Okay, so my favorite episode was a Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so in the moment where Dev is trying to save, like, that when his friend brings Michelle over for the first time, and it's like super awkward, and Dev has tried to save it, and it just won't happen. Yeah. I was just like, oh God, this is brutal.
I love when he just keeps shouting at the grandmother.
Yes.
Everything. Yeah.
What I loved is when the aunt breaks and Jesus is like, don't ask her another question. I thought Angela Bassett was fantastic in that episode.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Because that's an easy role to play as kind of hateful.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could easily have hated that character, but you totally got that she loved her daughter. And she even says it, like, when she says, I don't want life to be hard for you.
Yeah.
And it's just like one more thing you'd have to deal with.
Yeah. And it's coming from a place of love. It's a kind of a messed up thing, but it's a very believable sort of flaw in her.
And being able to kind of jump through time and show, like, the evolution and that, like, you know, things improve, things get better with that kind of openness.
Yep.
And eventually you can move to a place of understanding for it. It was just, it's a beautiful episode that really reminded me of the parents episode from last season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is another, like, I mean, you said, like, this episode they have this season they have an episode where that's like Dev's really not in it.
You're right.
The parents episode last season was like really just focused on their parents as younger people.
But that
too.
Was their parents. The one that this season, the was it New York, I Love You.
This felt very Louie.
Like, none of those people have anything to do with Dev.
Yeah.
Like, those people aren't like his parents, his friends, or anything.
That was very art house, I think. But it was still a great episode.
I loved that episode. It's easy to argue for being one of the favorites, because the doorman stuff was really good, and I like the sort of long-suffering but professional doorman, and I love that sort of when he's pushed, when you can see the sort of frustration that he has to cover for this douche who's cheating on his wife. He's like, I'm going to do it because I'm a professional. But then when something happens and he doesn't, he's not going to back down and apologize about it.
Eddie was great there.
Yeah. He's like, you need to stop pointing at me or we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
That was great. And then when the woman asks him about whatever she left in the apartment, and he's like,
her headphones.
And he's like,
Beats
like,
there's
some nice stuff out in the street. It's maybe it'll be out there with the rest of it. And then the deaf woman, I thought that was fantastic. The silence was really effective, and it was like really engaging. I was completely in that world. And then when they're arguing about licking her vagina, and I'm like, oh, that's really interesting, because they get into this argument in the middle of a store and no one really knows what's going on. And when the woman came up and in sign language told them to start yelling about their vagina, and the kids ran by signing vagina, I lost it. That is probably the hardest I laughed at the entire show.
They do a couple of those things where, you know, if you see a scene and you start thinking about it, like, oh yeah, I guess, like, you know, deaf people, they can get away with talking like that. Or there's a scene where they're in the helicopter and they're having the argument in the helicopter.
I was thinking that the whole
time. And I was thinking, wait, can't the pilot hear?
I was thinking
and then
that the
sure
whole
enough,
time.
They acknowledge that. I'm like, good. I love that a show does that. Like, takes that step back from it and be like, you know, in this situation, here's what practically would also happen.
Yes. I'm totally, I love that kind of thing.
My favorite scene in the whole series, or in this whole season, rather, was on the first date episode.
Yeah.
When he's progressively getting further and further. Like, it shows the different dates kind of whittling down to, like,
that was a great, I love that's a mechanic, the switching between dates, that was really, like, you got to trust your audience to stay with you on that.
Very effective too.
And I loved it. Yeah.
But he finally gets to sleeping with this one girl, and she's can you get a condom out of the jar?
Yes.
And like the sound effect it makes when it shows this sort of racist little cookie jar lady, or I guess condom jar, it goes dong. And he's just like staring at it, like, what? Oh man, I just kept laughing.
Well, but she's like, wait, so you thought I was a racist and you slept with me anyway? And he's like, look, I know this doesn't reflect well on me, but it started from a good place. I lost it. It was really good.
There was, I had a couple friends who posted about like the first day, like, wow, too real. And there is some real awkwardness in there. The girl who starts videoing a fight.
Oh, yeah.
That awful girl was videoing the fight. And the girl, Priya, who runs into her old friend that she clearly has slept with before and wants to again. And it's like, they were getting along so well, and then it's just done. Like, that was such a brutal, awkward moment. I love that. And I love that actress. I can't remember where I've seen her.
She's popping up in everything now.
But I really like her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the one who's like a ramen reviewer and way into like wrestling and shit.
Yes.
She's been popping up and stuff. She was on Crashing.
Yeah. And she was at Moon Tower Comedy, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We saw her there. I think she was one of the people at Love It or Leave It, I think.
Yeah. She was in the panel. Yeah. Love It or Leave It, rather.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first date episode was a great one.
So the first season, we kind of get his romance that, you know, builds, crescendos, and then kind of just falls apart right at the end. And here we have another one where it's sort of this, I guess, unrequited love. Well, it's more complicated, I guess, than that. But is this what you guys think is the template for like the next season as well? Is it just him like failing in relationships?
So here's the thing that worries me. He said that he wasn't sure he was doing a third season, and then if he did, it was going to be a while. And I'm like, you can't leave it out there and not have a third season. That's mean.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he's going to have another one.
But I would hope that the third season is about...
That sounds like a negotiating move.
I want to know what happens with... I don't want to see like Francesca gone and he goes through a new thing. I want to see what happens when this sort of perfect romance that gets its unlikely shot, what happens when that's got to meet reality? Because I think they're up to doing that show.
Well, I hate the idea that like he... You know, he lost everything right there at the end again.
Yeah.
Like, he loses his job, and then he also loses her.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just all of it just...
But he doesn't lose her.
Well, and there's another loose end. The girl Sarah he meets and really hits it off with, but his cell phone gets stolen in the first episode. Yeah.
I just figured we're never going to see her again.
Never see her again.
I mean, that was in Italy and England, and there's no way.
I thought she was going to come back later in the season.
Really?
Well, because I thought they were going to find his phone or something.
Oh, yeah. No, I figured she's just gone. That's just bad luck. That's the way that one went.
That's rough.
I mean, that's right.
Francesca are together at the end. She is not wearing her ring.
That was the other thing. Like, she wasn't wearing her ring.
You can interpret that as a dream, and they could go that way. But the interpretation I had...
Could have been her dream, could have been his dream.
But the last thing we see of her, Pino says, as she's ready to leave, she doesn't respond. And the next thing we see, she's there with him. And they're both sort of... She's got her eyes wide open, and he sort of wakes up. And it's that oh, this was great, and now we got to deal with the reality of it. And that's the show I want to see next season. I want them to keep... Because the chemistry's so good between those two actors, I want to see that relationship. And I'd hate to see it go the way of like... You know, oh, it didn't work out. That's the easy road. I would rather it's like a real relationship. It's got its difficulties, and they fight, and sometimes they almost break up. But they had a connection. Like, that's what brought them together.
I feel like overall, that's such a relationship that's destined for failure, though.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I think it's an infatuation with an idea.
Yeah.
Rather than like either of them truly being like perfect for each other, I guess.
Maybe.
Well, because, I mean, is Dev going to move to Italy, and now the whole next season takes place with him living in Italy?
No, I figured she moved to New York, and it's going to be her adjusting to whether or not that's what she really wants. Now, odds are, yes, that relationship ends with her going back to Italy.
Yeah, because I think, the only thing she has here is him, right?
Right, but...
And pharmacies.
Oh, that is true.
And pharmacies, yeah. Don't
miniatures are really cute.
Don't underestimate the lore of a good pharmacy.
Yeah, that's tricky though, man. I mean, yeah. to move to a new country.
But she
for
could,
a guy who just lost his job.
But, and yeah, what's for a guy who just lost his job because she hung out with him for a month. But I wouldn't do that.
There's no saying she couldn't find a job in New York.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she could, yeah. but. And I don't know that.
It's a long shot. I will absolutely grant you a long shot, but I could see it being a relationship that goes for a while, even if it's a relationship where neither of them are willing to admit. I mean, she stayed with Pino long after she should have. So it's a pattern.
I think the show would be an entirely different show if they went to Italy.
That's true. Yeah.
But I think it would be more reasonable to expect Dev to go to Italy than her to come to New York.
There's no reason for
him to stay
there.
He doesn't have a job.
He can't leave Arnold.
That is true. Well, Arnold came to see him.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's precedent for his friends coming to Italy.
That's a reasonable point.
I want to also see the fallout with Chef Jeff and like how much of that is tainting Dev's relationship.
Holy shit, you're
Bobby
right.
Cannavale
it makes more sense
from
just to go to Italy and just start
yeah,
over.
Yeah, dude. He, like...
He's burned.
He needs to George Costanza this shit. Just burn that bridge.
Yeah, you're right.
He's pretty
He's pretty burned, yeah.
His rep is wrecked.
yeah, that's true.
Man, that's
forever
so
on his
bad.
Wikipedia page.
Wow, guys, I didn't realize what a hopeless romantic I was until this very minute.
it's fantastic. It's one of those bittersweet binging shows, I think.
We didn't talk that much about Chef Jeff.
Yeah.
Bobby Cannavale is great. Yes. Always great.
He did a really good job.
And he's explosive.
But we were talking about how his sort of sexual harassment thing sort of came out of nowhere. We didn't really see any evidence of it except for a tiny little bit when the makeup girl, he sort of pointed her out to Dev. He's like, who's that? And then he sort of made some comments about
her. Yeah,
but
him like noticing attractive ladies isn't something that's like pervy. It's no, just like dude bro kind of being like, whoa, yeah, check it out. Yeah.
It only becomes clear in retrospect what it was.
I guess. Yeah, it was very subtle.
But she's gone the next day. And then so when the other information falls in our lap later that we're like, oh,
or
this
the next
guy
scene, yeah.
Then they were like, oh, okay, so that's what was going on there. That's what happened. He noticed her, then he made some inappropriate moves on her, and then she left, and this has been going on for a while.
I like the situation Dev's put in.
Yeah.
That like how he like takes a stand, he immediately tries to distance himself.
Yeah.
He's not like, well, I still got a job to do. I mean, he takes like a proper ethical stand, although
right. in an awkward way.
He's awkward about it because he's also like put on Raven Live.
Yes.
And he has to kind of like try to answer for it. I mean, I don't know. Like on the one hand, I kind of wish there was more of that hero moment where he's put on the spot and he like instantly
comes through
the whole thing and like, and we're rooting for him.
Yeah.
And he comes out a hero rather than him
but
tripping over his words.
But I mean, that's the thing. I felt like it was more real. Like this, you're friends with this guy. You've been selling yourself as best friends and you didn't know him that well. You sort of accidentally tied your reputation to him. That is also on Dev.
Yeah.
And it just kind of bit him in the ass. I thought it was very real when Chef Jeff kind of confronts him backstage and he's like, look, we got talking points. And in his mind, this is all going to go away and they're bros and it's fine.
And Dev's got his back because he's always had his, right?
And because like, I think that
he forgot about Dev's balls.
That's the easy way that a lot of these things go down is that guys who know their friends, they don't want to believe this, that they're friends. They want to believe that it's being misinterpreted and to stand up and say, you know, these women that in general, he didn't know, that he believes them. That's a hard thing to do. And I think that speaks a lot to the character that he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another layer that I definitely want to see unpacked a little bit more in the third season.
I just hope season three is him in Italy making pasta with Francesca. Actually, I do want that kid to come back because the kid cracked me up in that first episode.
He's got cute cheeks. It's true.
I'm a kid. I don't have a card.
Well, let's talk about Leftovers because we got it's a Matt world episode. And I mean, this show, the writing can go so bonkers.
Grant?
Yeah.
This show is so goddamn weird.
Yes, it is. I love
it. It's so goddamn weird.
Like how it just infuses like the surreal with the prophets and your tests of faith
and a lion fucking cult.
and a lion sex cult on a party bus, sure. like an orgy bus.
Yep.
And this secret gang of zealots that are going to release a lion on them that's going to attack. Like, the whole thing is weird.
Yes. And yes, it is. It's bonkers. It's
delightful. And I don't think it's like hard to, like, do you think it's hard to follow?
No. Once you sign on, it's like, you know, it's like once you take the drugs, you know what you're in for.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. It's like it's a crazy trip every week. And I'm like, you guys just do whatever the fuck you want, don't you? You just do it.
I thought, you know, it's a weird way they had to like somehow figure out how to bring the whole gang, I guess, to Australia.
Yeah.
But they did it for the most part. They brought, you know, four of the main characters along there. So now we have seven of them there.
Plus the captain from the Shield.
Yeah.
Which was weird when I saw that guy. I was like, oh, wait, that's that guy. It's David Acevedo.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to like return and make more of a
I don't know. I think role. It might have just been a small role.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's better than being a comatose lady in a wheelchair for three seasons.
That is weird, by the way. Janelle Maloney was in this thankless role.
Yeah.
And then she came out of the coma, and they wrote her off.
They
like
just disappeared her.
Did she lose a bet with Lindelof? Like that's a shitty thing to do to a great actress. I hope she has an episode at least this season.
I don't think she will.
That's so messed up.
I think she's gone.
She just played a lady in a wheelchair, and then she left. That was it. That was the story arc.
That's sad for her, but
she
yeah.
was a prop for Matt's character. That's messed up.
I mean, you would prefer it have been someone that was even more of an unknown?
I would have liked her to have a character once she woke up. I would have liked her to have had an arc this season, yes. I thought she was going to have an arc, but no, especially, she's basically a prop.
Especially with this being a Matt episode.
Yeah, she's not even in it.
Like, here we have, you know, him. This is after he gets the phone call, or after, rather, what's her name? The ex-wife. Amy yeah. Brenneman's character yeah. gets a phone call from Kevin, mm-hmm. and that's where this picks up. So the other weird scene where he's got a nosebleed and he's all wet from the rain,
yeah.
and he answers the phone from Kevin Garvey Sr.
Yep.
I guess I was expecting we would see like some other drama that was kind of going on there, but I think we're just kind of skipping all past that because this is episode 5.
How many episodes are there this season?
We get 8 episodes, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say it's short, right? Short
yeah, we only have 3 more episodes.
How are they going to explain how it all happened?
They're not, dude. That's the thing they said. They're never going to explain that why 2% disappeared. So there might be some fans who did not get that they weren't going to explain that, and they're going to be bummed again.
You know what? No worries. I got you guys covered. The week after the final Leftovers episode, I'll present you my explanation.
Are you gonna?
Oh, for sure.
Do you have an explanation?
It's the same as asking me, do I have a third way we can promote ourselves? The answer is yes, in the same exact way.
I will riff something. You're just pulling it out of your ass.
Yes.
You and the magic asshole.
Yes.
It's such a good kids book series.
I haven't heard anybody call you that since 1987. Your summer of love.
Yes. Randy and the magic asshole.
Yeah, so the scene with God and Matt,
yeah.
where he kind of confronts him,
mm-hmm.
I was just very impressed with how Christopher Eccleston plays a guy who's like, you're not God, you are, how dare you like even try and pretend? And the answers eventually just like so engross him that you actually think he's fully like giving a confessional to what he thinks is a surrogate God.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I left that scene thinking that, you know, he needed to kind of have a therapist, I guess, basically that he needed could get a
confession.
Something. Yeah, but he didn't ever accept that guy was God.
No,
which, you know, great scene.
Yeah, you know what's weird though? I like Matt; he's a compelling character, but is he always the asshole? Matt's always the asshole, right? He ruins everything.
He's a self-righteous asshole.
He's an asshole. Like they ask him, and they're like, look, there's gonna be a lot of sex in this boat. We're not gonna let you on. Tell me a dirty joke. Good dirty joke, by the way. Although I wanted to hear the one Lori was going to tell.
Yeah.
And
about the panda.
And then they're like, okay, well, no judging. There's going to be a lot of sex on this boat. We're letting you on for free. So we're doing you a huge favor. We bought out this whole boat. And he's like, yeah, no, I won't be judgmental. Here's a dirty joke. And then what does he do? He gets up and judges all of them just because they tried to blow him because he disobeyed the rules.
Okay. To be fair, two things.
Yes.
2 points. Yep. One, they tried to straight up rape him. It was kind of fucked up. And
you know
he was
what?
Saying no, and they were trying to rape him.
You know what? He spoke the magic words he wasn't supposed to speak.
Does that mean you get to rape a dude?
If you're in a Lion's sex cult, I think it might.
But two, when he judges them, he does not judge them for their sexual behavior, their deviancy. He judges them because he was trying to tell them that someone was murdered and they're ignoring it. And that's what he was upset about. And I think he was kind of in the right there.
You know what, Grant? I don't know if you've ever been on a boat with a Lion's sex cult. But when there's a murder,
you were there.
Oh, that's right. When there was a murder,
1987.
Randy's magical asshole tour.
When there was a murder, you're just when there's sex going on, and you're trying to bring about the primal power of a virile lion. I'm not gonna say his name. Don't get going. Anybody come in and rape me?
Hey, we got an hour and 12 minutes before you know. Frasier the Gremlin comes and gets
oh,
you.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, it was weird to have a Gremlins riff in there. I'm just saying, I feel like maybe they're all focused on the sex, and they all thought he was crazy. There was an actual murder.
That's fair.
But he was judging them for their sex. He was calling them deviants and all that kind of stuff.
They were just trying to rape him.
Okay, that's fair. I'll grant you that.
All right. Well, I think that's a great place to leave that. And let's go ahead and jump over to this latest episode of Breaking Bad.
Better Call Saul.
But I can see how you'd make that mistake because there's a lot of Breaking Bad in this.
Yes.
Yeah.
We get, what's her name from the sixth season?
Lydia.
She pops up a little bit in the cameo, which is kind of weird. I forgot the whole relationship. Like,
it's all there.
Comes in.
I mean, it's that we're seeing the foundation of Gus's empire. We're seeing the foundation.
She's just an associate of Gus. She works for Gus.
Okay. I mean, remember, Gus had the whole network set up.
Yeah.
And we're actually seeing, I mean, that's not the only thing we see. We see the super lab. We see them buying the super lab.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which the impression we got when we see in Better Call Saul or in Breaking Bad is that he made that for Walt. But clearly, he's making that to create his own, you know, product.
Yeah.
And then Walt is like the cog that fits into his operation.
And then we also get Nacho, who seems to be kind of making a move to be the one who takes and puts Tio in the wheelchair when he covers up that medicine.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of took from that.
I think you're right.
So we were assuming all along it's going to be Mike that does that.
Yeah,
but
it may not be.
Maybe it's going to be Nacho.
But the other thing I thought was really interesting was the stuff with Jimmy and
Saul.
And Saul.
We finally get the first reveal of Saul Goodman.
Did you see it coming? I saw it coming.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
When he was going around and asking them to be characters, I was like, well, you're the character. You're going to be Saul Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the birth of him.
And
then when eventually you got to come back as a lawyer, you've already marketed this character for a year.
Yeah.
That's the better track for him to come back on.
I thought it was really, I liked the montage of him calling all the elderly people and having to explain, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
They do montages really well on the show. I liked,
although it's also a bit like becoming a bit of a cliche. Like, there's the scene at the very beginning where you see a coffee cup empty and then coffee start pouring in it, and that's the opening scene. I'm like, that's so like Vince Gilligan and this world. Like, that's what the shots they do.
I'm appreciative. I'm not tired of it yet. I love it. So
I just feel like it's ripe for parody at this point.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's they've done it long enough now, the sort of slow burn and the weird camera angles, that you could definitely parody it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this was another great episode and another episode of confirming that Chuck's the biggest asshole in the world.
I mean, in contrast to last week's episode, which was all this legal drama, I felt like this one was a little bit of a slower episode, I guess. I mean, there's a lot happening.
There was a lot of moving parts. There was a lot of, here's a couple things happening that were going to become important later.
But last week's episode was all this clear build to a final moment that was super exciting. And here it just felt a little bit more chaotic.
Yeah.
And, you know, still a great episode.
Yep.
And we finally get Saul Goodman, so.
Yeah, I was very happy.
It's going to be interesting because he's now out for a year.
Yeah, I don't know where they're taking the story. I honestly don't know where
they're
going.
What are they doing with Chuck? Like, Chuck kind of shambles off in to make a phone call in his metal suit.
I don't know what that was. I'm not sure where that's going.
He's calling his doctor, but he went to some far-off payphone to do it.
Yeah, maybe he's going to try and get psychiatric help.
I mean, there's the scene where he opens a tape recorder and he starts holding the battery. And I was like, what if he's going to try and just like through willpower overcome his illness, get back into being like a professional lawyer and then like you know, be in a more position of power to like take on Jimmy.
I don't know. I'm not sure where they're going with it, but I'm really interested to see where they go.
Yeah.
Michael McKean is fantastic in this role.
It was almost like a superhero scene when he's holding that battery.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is a training montage.
This is where he's going to get his powers.
But no, he just kept shaking and putting on the blanket again.
What if the last part of Better Call, or the third season of Better Call Saul, is all about Michael McKean's character becoming a superhero?
He becomes Electro.
You would not see that twist coming.
He's Electro. He's Electro. In the next Spider-Man movie. Yeah.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yep. Did not see it coming.
No. It's going to be much better than, what the fuck is his name from the Spider-Man 2?
Oh, Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx's character. Oof, that was bad.
That was rough.
All right, guys. I feel like we can stop things there. We'll be back, of course, next week to talk Better Call Saul and Leftovers. And what else are we talking about?
Randy and
the Magic
show,
Asshole Tour 19.
Like, right now, they just released 13 episodes of something, I'm sure.
Maybe, right, as maybe Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt or something.
Something. There's something coming.
All right, well, we're going to wrap things up there. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Ashley.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
It was a lot of fun. And until next week, TV Dudes out. The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.